Welcome to the Good Manners Map with me, Monique Chambers, where we take a journey around the world learning about social etiquette and traditions. Welcome to the Good Manners Map with me, Monique Chambers, and my guest this week is from Scotland, so I'm welcoming John Ross to the programme. Hi, John.
Hi.
You've just been celebrating, is it Burns Night?
Yes. Burns Night is a big Scottish tradition where we celebrate the life of our national poet, Robert Burns.
Okay.
By eating haggis and reciting poetry and drinking whiskey.
All at the same time?
All at the same time.
How does that normally sort of go off?
Well, the haggis is very important, and that's usually brought to the table, and then there's a poem to a haggis,
okay,
which is read out, and the haggis is ceremonially killed,
okay,
and then taken away and served up.
Uh-huh. So, and is that with the neeps and tatties?
With neeps and with turnips and potatoes, yeah, neeps and tatties.
You didn't like my Scottish accent there. So this poem, is this something that all Scots can just recite?
No. It's written in Old Scots, so it's quite hard to understand, but it's an amusing poem once you understand what the words are all about.
Okay, so tell us a bit about it, because you're saying you kill the haggis, so is that a bit aggressive? No?
Well, it's to sort of demonstrate that it's the best pudding you can have, so you open it up so everybody can see the entrails on the inside.
Okay. I actually have eaten haggis and I quite like it, but I think it might also be the amount of whiskey one consumes.
Well, it's just like it's just a big sausage, really.
Yes, let's not go into the details of everything that's in there. Are there other sort of traditional Scottish foods, though? There are particular cakes or breads, maybe? I don't know.
Yes, there are things like bannocks, which are like a small bread roll.
Okay.
And porridge, obviously, is a traditional Scottish staple.
When do you have these rolls? Is that something traditional, or is it just something?
It's sort of with tea at tea time.
Okay.
It's like a cake.
So sweetened. Are they hard, soft?
Usually sort of hard on the outside, soft on the inside.
Okay.
Like a sweet roll.
Ah. Yeah. I'm going to have to look these up because I hate not knowing something. So apart from Burns Night, you do any other nights with haggis, or is that the haggis night?
That's the main night for haggis, but it's quite often also served at St Andrew's Night, which is the patron saint of Scotland.
And that's end of November, isn't it?
Yeah, but that's usually a more sort of formal affair, the bowl and dancing and so on.
Ah. And is this, you wear the full kilt?
Kilts and tartan sashes and all that stuff.
Hats as well, or not?
Hats for the ladies.
Okay. And do ladies wear kilts as well? Or do they wear a version of?
Yeah.
So, because there's something to do with your tartan matches your surname, is that correct?
Well, your clan, yes. So
okay.
You might have a clan like Mackenzie, which then would have sort of lots of different subsets, but they would all wear the Mackenzie clan tartan.
Okay. And you can, is there like a tartan directory? Does that sound like a silly question?
there are entire museums dedicated to tartans, and you can research. And you have my tartan. I have three different tartans. So I have an ancient, a hunting tartan, and a dress tartan.
And so you choose whichever one?
Well, yes, I just have the one. I don't have all three, but you could do in theory.
So you have the kilt, then, and the sporran? What goes in a sporran?
Your mobile phone.
Okay.
Small change. Handkerchief.
Oh, no, you just ruined the romance. So what used to go in a sporran before?
Well, it's basically a purse, so your valuables would go in there.
And there's obviously the tradition of not wearing anything under the kilt for whatever reason.
Well, it's just personal choice. It's very cold, you probably would want it.
And you wear knee-length socks with I don't know what it's called. You have sort of, there's something around the side of the socks, I've noticed.
Yes, he had socks with garters to hold the socks up, and a small knife, a skeandu.
Is that for the haggis?
Yes, you use it for stabbing the haggis, but it's also it's very easy to reach if you're sitting at a table. If you've been invited into some other clan's house and you're sitting at table, you can quickly reach it from your sock.
We spoke to somebody recently, actually, I think France, who were telling us how they keep their hands on the table and not to keep their hands under the table because of
things like weapons. They probably had a Scotsman to dinner.
Yeah, Scottish and the French, and it's not just an ugly rugby match, is it?
Well, there's an old alliance there against the English, so...
Yeah, I suppose, yeah. I'll be quiet. So if I was to come to a St Andrew's night, obviously not being at all Scottish, what would I have to wear?
You'd probably wear a ball gown or something like that.
Okay.
And maybe with a tartan sash or something.
So I can just pick one that I like the look of. I wouldn't be offending
anyone.
Yeah,
you could just pick the colour that suits you.
So I could just adopt a tartan. I'll have a nice purple tartan.
Yes, I mean, at school, you know, schools will have if you don't have your own tartan, they will have one that's local. So at my school, it was the Black Watch because that was our local regiment. So if you didn't have your own tartan, you would wear the Black Watch tartan.
And so is there an age where the boy gets his first kilt? It's not like you're
not really.
Age
you can
12
you can you can get small ones for toddlers or yes.
That's cuteness overload though, and then but as you get older, there's not by a certain point in time you're expected to have a kilt because you're going to be going off and doing.
No, I think that they're often handed down through families.
So
there's some very old ones, or you might get one made for a special occasion like getting married.
And then you would wear your normal tartan again, or do you then merge with your wife's clan or something?
No.
Sometimes I wish people could see the faces of my interviewees. I've just asked a really stupid question. So you would use your own tartan at that stage, have a kilt made, and then she would wear her own sash with her.
Well, she could either wear yours or her own clan.
Depends how feisty.
Depending if she likes the colour or not.
It's a nice deep reason to go to. At Scottish weddings, then, is it Scottish dancing or is it normal bands?
Yes, quite often it's Scottish dancing, ceilidh band, usually followed by a disco for younger people.
Uh-huh. But
usually the first dance, at least, is a traditional one.
Okay. So there's lots of... because I've only seen a bit of Scottish dancing, but there's not too much jumping around in this case when there's just two of you.
No, there are, waltzes and so on.
Okay. So
as well as the big formal eights and reels and things like that.
So it'd be nice and calm. And you would know how to do this, or you would be training to do this in advance of your wedding?
Yes. Okay. Yeah.
Is there anything somebody shouldn't do as a guest at a Scottish wedding?
Not really.
No?
usually end up in a bit of a free-for-all towards the end.
There's quite a lot of alcohol involved, I would imagine.
Yes, usually.
Yes,
yeah.
I think that this programme actually could have been sponsored by an alcohol brand, because most of the celebrations around the world actually seem to have a lot of alcohol consumed at them. And at weddings in Scotland today, is it gift lists? Is it people take presents to weddings?
I think today most people have a list at a store or whatever, and then
it's done like that.
Yeah. People get married later in life, so you usually have all the things that you need already. You don't need toasters and washing machines and things like that you might have done if you got married when you were 18 or you still lived at home.
Yeah. And is it traditional also to be engaged for a long time before getting married, or personal choice?
Personal choice. I mean, some people are engaged for 10 years and some people for 10 days.
And would you invite the whole of your village or your street or anything like that to your wedding?
It tends to be more family and the people who watched you grow up, so the family, friends and that sort of thing, as well as your own friends.
And is it before the dancing starts, is it a sit down occasion, or is it a stand up like a Maltese type of wedding?
Usually it's church, and then there's the wedding breakfast, which it doesn't matter what time of day it is, even if it's 7 in the evening, it's still called a wedding breakfast.
Right.
That usually is a sit-down meal, and then there are speeches, and then after that, the dancing.
And do you have haggis as well at your weddings, or is that not really?
You could do, but no, it depends if you like haggis or not.
And I'm guessing the normal wedding cake, there's nothing specific outside of...
Yeah, a normal wedding cake, but usually the top tier of the wedding cake mm-hmm. is kept for the christening of the first child.
Oh, which is it's expected within the first year, I'm guessing. See how long the cake.
Well, they're usually a very heavy duty fruit cake, which will last forever anyway. So you've got a bit of time.
You still have those. And so when it does come round to the birth of a child, is there anything that happens specifically then?
Not really. I mean, usually the child would get some gifts. There might be some silver, mm-hmm. you know, spoons and things like that that are passed down through the family that they will get.
And maybe their first baby kilt.
Maybe a kilt, yes. Or tartan nappies or something like that.
That just sounds too cute. And so then going to school, you said there's no sort of other rituals going through school, do you? I'm going to ask, does everyone learn to play the bagpipes?
No.
No, okay. That's just if you're particularly interested. It's not something forced upon you.
Yes, I mean, most schools, I would think, would have a pipe band, so if you did want to learn it, you could.
Mm-hmm.
So.
But it's not
forced compulsory.
Upon you. Okay. And after that, when you get into sort of socialising, going for dinner at somebody's home or going for lunch or whatever, what's the... sort of time, you know, what time would somebody turn up if you invited people at 7:30, for example? What time would you expect your guests to actually show?
Well, I would try and turn up on time, or at the most 10 or 15 minutes late. It's,
okay.
It's quite rude to keep people waiting.
Mm-hmm. I like that. I can't stand this people turning up 45 minutes late and you've got everything timed strategically to be
yes.
on the table. Yeah. And should we bring gifts?
I think just the usual, a bottle of wine or some chocolates or something like that. It'd be quite unusual to turn up empty-handed.
Mm-hmm. You'd be doing the washing up. And is there anything that absolutely shouldn't happen at a dinner party? Apart from, you know, the dagger in the...
Well, yes, so stabbing your host is probably not good.
But is it the same as the most of the world, wait till the hostess sits and eats? Or is it...
Yes, it's the same as you would expect anywhere else, I think.
There are some places, though, where you they have odd numbers of flowers mean one thing and even numbers of flowers mean another, and you can really get some things quite wrong, actually. Mm. But so a dinner party would just take normal course, end up in whiskies, I'm guessing, and...
Yeah.
And are there any rituals around whiskey drinking that novices...
Well, if you're a purist, you would not put anything in your whiskey apart from maybe a small amount of water,
mm-hmm.
no ice,
mm-hmm.
but, and you certainly wouldn't put Coca-Cola in or anything in it.
There is the thought. But there's nothing else around that. There's no cigars and whiskey for the gents at a certain point in time, or is that the old days?
I think that's a previous generation might have done that. We're all equal now.
Not so that you won't get away with it for that long. And so you say taking a gift, just a bottle of wine, something along those lines.
Yeah,
and
something small.
You would open that at the dinner party, or there's...
Probably not. I mean, your host has probably gone to some trouble to choose wine to match the food and so on.
Because there's one place where you're supposed to serve what you're brought, and so you could end up with, you know, one hell of a hangover the next morning.
Yeah, no, I think at a formal dinner party you would drink the host's wine.
Yes. No, but even at someone's house on a casual type thing, it still would get put in the cellar type of thing for another...
Yes, I think so. Yeah.
Another day. Are there any other things we should be aware of if we were to go and... visit Scotland and be invited to something, or just have Scottish friends locally, in fact, who get invited over? Things we should know, what to expect?
Well, if you're served haggis, probably the best thing is not to ask what's in it. Just taste it and say it's just like sausage, and if you don't think about what's in it...
It should be fine.
You'll be fine.
So now you're going to tell us what's in it.
Okay. It's nothing too bad. I mean, it's I think the... The most off-putting thing for some people is that traditionally it's a sheep's stomach that is served inside.
Okay.
So instead of a sort of sausage skin, it's a sheep's stomach, and mm-hmm. then It's offal, so it's sort of the chopped up intestines of a sheep.
Mm-hmm.
Some beef fat, some oatmeal, and some spices.
Okay.
So it's like a black pudding or a blood sausage or something like that.
And do you actually find them here in Malta, or you have to ship them when you have your occasions?
We've shipped ours in, although there is a butcher who said that if we get him a recipe, he will make it for us.
Okay.
But we haven't tried that yet.
Could be interesting. You start now, you'll be ready for November.
Yes, well, we usually say when we have it at Burns Night, you know, it's really delicious, we should have it more often, but then we don't have it again for another year, so...
It's a bit like Christmas cake, though. I love Christmas cake.
But... Yes, but you wouldn't dream of having it in June, so...
Yeah, no, if I did, I'd be the size of a house, actually. So, the haggis, I'd love to hear this ode to the haggis, actually, one time. I shall look it up. So, on a bit more of a sombre note, funerals.
Okay.
Is there still sort of a celebration of life at a funeral? What's the typical...
Well, it depends on the particular church, but you'd have the funeral and either the cremation or the burial.
Mm-hmm.
And then normally there would be a wake after that.
So what's a wake?
Well, normally the guests would be invited either to a hotel or back to the family home, and there they would be given tea and sandwiches and whiskey and so on, and sort of talk about the deceased and,
mm-hmm.
and celebrate their life.
Excellent. And that sort of just goes on for the afternoon and everyone disperses?
It depends, you know, obviously, if it's somebody who's lived a full life and has reached their natural end, it's a different thing to, you know,
a
more tragic ending, but yes, they can go on quite late, depending on where you are. There's a saying in Glasgow that you'll have more fun at a Glasgow funeral than you will at an Edinburgh wedding.
Oh, where are you from?
I'm not from either of those places.
Are there other differences traditionally in Scotland? So obviously, there's all the Highlands as well, so that must be quite a different cultural experience.
Yes, they're quite different. They're quite spread out. The main sort of centres of population, so they have different attitudes, different traditions.
And this Edinburgh Glasgow thing, is that in other areas of life?
There's a big rivalry between Glasgow and Edinburgh.
So a Glasgow person wouldn't normally marry someone from Edinburgh. They would keep it quiet.
They might do, but they'd be. A bit of fighting going on.
Is there a difference in accents? Would a layman be able to tell the difference between someone from Glasgow and someone from Edinburgh?
Yes, well, I think Glasgow, because it has so many people,
mm-hmm.
I think about a third of the population of Scotland is in Glasgow in
wow.
that area, is that the Glasgow accent is what people would recognise as a Scottish accent.
Okay.
But it's very different to Edinburgh or Aberdeen or... Shetland Islands, you know, they're very different.
And so are there other aspects of Scotland that separate the people, so to speak? So about the Highlands, the Shetlands. I've been to Pitlochry once. That was a million years ago, but on a sleeper train.
Yeah.
That really was a really long time ago. They'll just come flooding back to me. Because you've got skiing, you've obviously got the locks. Are there different ways of life?
Yes, I think in the Highlands it's probably still quite a traditional lifestyle with crofting and fishing, but also intermingled with very high-tech things as well, because if you can work remotely, you can work anywhere.
Ah.
And the big cities are like living in any other big city.
But you don't see the Scottish traditions, you don't see them every day in the city then. They're more likely to be out in the sticks.
I'm not sure, because a lot of people, you know, will come from the Highlands to live in the city, to work, okay. or go to university or whatever, so
you it's still a
mixture.
See.
Yeah.
Okay. And are there, when you have, like, you're talking about the funerals and weddings in Edinburgh versus Scotland, are there any other sort of actual differences? Is there different foods? Is there different things that happen? Or it's the same traditions, they're just different types of people?
Yeah, there'll be different traditions. I mean, if you go to Shetland or Orkney, they have a much more Scandinavian type of traditions. They have Uphelia and things like that, which the Vikings brought.
What's that?
It's not sure exactly, but they set fire to things. at the end of January, they go down the main street with big fireballs to chase out evil spirits and things like that.
Okay, probably just keep them warm. Actually, they've been probably fibbing to you all this time.
Yeah.
So that's more Scandinavian, like, so it can make some sense. Uh-huh. And what else? Are there any others?
And you have different dialects. So if you go to Aberdeen and Dundee in that area, they have a dialect called Doric, which came from the mills in the Industrial Revolution when they had their own sort of secret language, which is very hard to understand if you don't know it.
And so it's still spoken today, still a secret clannish thing. Yeah. Okay, so that you don't know when they're talking about you is the... Yeah.
No, and in the rest of the Highlands, they speak Gaelic. A lot of people speak Gaelic, which is the old language. Very similar to the Irish Gaelic, but with some differences.
You just mentioned Ireland there. Just the Irish and Scottish whiskey. There's a bit of rivalry there, is there?
Not really. Scottish whiskey is better.
Because they're even spelled differently. I mean, is it shunned if you actually like Irish whiskey as a Scot?
No, I don't think so. No. I think Irish whiskey is produced in quite a similar way to Scottish whiskey, whereas American whiskey with an E is a completely different process for distilling it.
So that's how you actually know the difference, because of the spelling of the word. So it's the Scottish versus the American rather than Scottish.
Whiskey with an E is a...
New World, so
to speak. It's a different,
New World,
different drink.
And is there anything else that's eaten in Scotland that we don't sort of see generally elsewhere?
I think we've been quite good at exporting things like oat cakes.
Wasn't there Iron Brew?
Iron Brew.
Yes, Iron Brew.
That's still going, I think.
Uh-huh. And shortcake. Shortcake biscuits.
And smoked haddock, Arbroath smokies.
Okay, uh-huh.
Venison. Obviously lots of fishing in Scotland, so lots of fish.
And
sea fish, and shellfish.
And isn't there fried Mars bars? Was that a Scottish invention, or was that Newcastle?
No, I think if you go to a Scottish chip shop, you can probably buy almost anything deep fried, deep fried pizza, deep fried Mars bar. I've never tried one.
It's got to be worth a go, hasn't it? I suppose on a cold night, it'd be something to warm your cockles. Apart from anything else.
Not good for your heart.
Yeah, you couldn't have too many of them, but I suppose if you're going to be dancing it off. Are there any other things you celebrate differently? Perhaps Christmas and you have Hogmanay? What's Hogmanay? Is that the right time of year?
Yeah, that's New Year, which is probably the biggest sort of traditional party of the year.
Okay.
So people will meet up and eat and dance and whatever, and then at midnight, everybody will greet each other and have a dram, and then
a dram of whiskey. This is another sort of like a shot, essentially.
Yeah. And then it's traditional to go first footing, which is going to your friends and neighbours' houses.
Okay.
And you take a lump of coal to put on the fire and some whiskey, and you say Happy New Year, and then you move on to the next house.
So you're just walking around with a sporran full of coal.
Basically. Most people will put a bucket of coal by the front door, okay. So you can just pick it up and take it in. But it's a nice tradition, and it can go on for a few days in some villages.
So you just keep walking from house to house until the coal is.
Yeah, in the smaller villages, that basically everybody will expect to be first footed at some point.
Oh, so, how lovely! Yeah. And Christmas is like the usual Christmas Day, Christmas lunch type of affair.
Yeah, it's much more of a family affair, but. Okay. New Year is definitely a big event, and it's in some of the villages they'll have traditions like the flambeau, where they'll take cabers, which are sort of like telegraph poles, wrapped in sackcloth with tar, which they set fire to, and they'll then march to the four corners of the village to chase out evil spirits. It's an old pagan tradition.
And when's that as well?
That's a New Year as well.
Okay.
And then they'll throw them in the river to see off the evil spirits. So
there's loads of these what do you call them? Capers?
Cabers.
Cabers. Yeah. So there's loads of those at the end of the New Year celebrations, just
in the river.
In the river. Okay. And they don't get fished out, or they usually get fished
They probably get fished out for environmental reasons.
And dried out, ready for next year.
Ready for next year, yeah. Recycling.
I think we should start this first footing thing here. I quite like the sound of that, actually. Not with coal, obviously. We'll just sort of think of something else. Put a bulb in your garden, whatever. I think that sounds quite fun. Anything else that we need to know about visiting Scotland?
Not really. The people are very friendly and helpful. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Good place to visit.
We shall come and visit. And Scottish in Malta, is there quite a big community?
There are. In fact, almost everywhere you go in the world, you'll find that there are Scots, because they emigrated all over the place.
Not avoiding the cold.
Some of us avoiding the cold. But you'll find St Andrew's societies and whiskey societies all over the world. So
Any excuse.
Any excuse to meet up. And sometimes the further away from Scotland you get, the more Scottish it gets. If you go to some parts of Canada, you feel it's more Scottish than Scotland
itself. I shall look them up. So that's been really fun talking to you. That's John Ross, who's from Scotland, if you hadn't guessed. And this is the Good Manners Map with me, Monique Chambers. Thanks very much for listening. Thank you for joining us on our journey around the world on the Good Manners Map here on Campus FM with myself, Monique Chambers, and the technicians Carmelo and Samuel. You can hear this programme on Mondays at 1:30 p.m, Thursdays at 9:30 a.m, and again on Fridays at 8 p.m. You can also download as a webcast from MaltaUniversityBroadcasting.com.